is a magical adventure through the landscape of this year's Hallmark movie channels. Countdown to Christmas. I'm your host, Mark Hahn, and with me today is...
Kristen Hahn.
And Kristen, what movie do we have to review today?
So for today, we have A Holiday in Harlem, which I think came out early December?
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Yeah. So Holiday in Harlem, do you have a 60-second synopsis for us?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to put 60 seconds on the clock, and when you are ready, you can go.
Career woman Jasmine is offered a vice president of North America job, and just when she's about to jet set off to her next on-site location, she gets a call from her grandma, Mama Belle, who guilts her into coming home to Harlem for the Christmas Jamboree. With only a few hours till her flight, Jasmine heads to her old neighborhood into the hardware store of her former best friend, Caleb. When Mama Belle has a yoga-induced accident caused by Jazz's dancer's pose gone awry, she decides to forego globetrotting to stay in town and plan the jamboree with, guess who? Caleb.
You did it in under 45 seconds.
Okay.
Look at that.
Was that complete enough?
Oh, I would say so.
Okay.
Hallmark's official description is, after her grandmother, Mama Belle, turns away her usual gift delivery expecting presents over presents, jet-setting executive Jasmine heads uptown to Harlem for a quick visit. However, when Mama Belle is injured, Jasmine agrees to stay in the neighborhood and take over co-chairing their box annual Christmas Jamboree with her old best friend, Caleb. A successful corporate fixer, Jasmine expects the job to be easy, but quickly finds that she has a lot to learn about the community and her heart.
That's good. Oh. We had some of the similar adjectives. Jet-setting, globe-trotting, etc.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any information on our actors in this movie? Do you have their McKellar counts?
Zero. I have no information.
You have not done any of the research.
No, that's your forte.
That's my forte?
Yeah.
So, Olivia Washington and Will Adams, the two main love interests in this movie. This is, for each of them, this is their first Hallmark movie.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And Tina Lifford, who plays Mama Belle, this is also her first Hallmark movie, but she has a TV career that spans more than a quarter century. She is in a lot of stuff. Now, one thing I thought was worth mentioning, Olivia Washington is the daughter of...
George Washington?
Wow.
Wait.
Denzel Washington. King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, this is her first Hallmark movie, but she's been in some other things. She was in Lee Daniels' The Butler, which was, I think, an Academy Award-nominated movie back maybe 8 years ago or so.
I thought the actors were very good.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah. I enjoyed the... What I'm finding is that the better the acting, the less hokey it feels.
And the hokey meter was pretty low.
Was low on this one?
I thought so.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Do you have any Baywatch?
Baywatch. I just thought the Yuletide yoga was, like, so fun. I typically hate yoga. It's so slow and, like, I don't know. It's just boring to me. I'm, like, a fast-paced kind of gal. So I totally could, like, sympathize when she felt the same way. You could tell Jazz is, like, looking around, like, Mama Belle tells everyone to close their eyes and, you know, like, get into the meditative state. And Jazz is, like, looking around, which is exactly what I do during yoga because I think it's so boring. The jazzy music, like, right from the beginning with the whole, like, beginning scene where the mailman is bringing the package to Mama Belle that she eventually rejects. There's, like, this cool jazzy music. Ooh, maybe that's why they call her Jazz. You know, like, there's a nice connection there.
You're stumbling upon that.
When Jazz cleaned Mama Belle's office, boom! Like, that's my jam.
That's your jam.
Yeah, like, organization. That reminded me of the Friends episode when Monica's hiding in Chandler's bathroom because he's trying to, like, fake seduce Phoebe because they're trying to cover up their, like, love affair. And so Chandler comes in because he's like, SOS, SOS, I don't know what to do. Phoebe's coming on to me and he's like, did you clean up in here? And she's like, of course. And then I love the Christmas poetry slam. Actually, there were a few. I have a lot of things here for Baywatch. The poetry slam, uh-huh. When she drops the French, like speaking French, on Sam, the waiter or the owner of the restaurant.
Yes.
That was Liddy. Mm-hmm. And then the fashion show. Hello. Like Christmas fashion show. That was so awesome. And her dad's outfit was like on point. There were lots of great outfits and music and like all sorts of arts and craftsy things. And that's totally up my alley.
So I had that. I just liked what she was wearing in that Yuletide yoga.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
She was way into it, which I was kind of like, how did she get all of that together?
Yeah.
Like, right away.
Right.
I was kind of impressed by that. Caleb says to her, I think. Or does she say to him, one of them is playing basketball, and they're like, oh, yeah. I love watching you play.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember.
Maybe that was kind of a double entendre.
Yeah, I think that is. I think I read that.
And then her dad comes up to her at a certain point and is like, your dad's got swag, Ace. No. Or maybe Caleb says that to her.
It must be.
Anyone saying swag just kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah.
How about heartwarming moments that you have?
Yeah, I only had a couple. There was something about, like, the mistletoe that kind of came full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Something from, like, their previous relationship when she was growing up in the neighborhood. And then she gives him a gift kind of towards the end of the movie of, like, a mistletoe ornament or something.
Ah, yes.
I'm a big sucker for anything that comes, like, full circle.
Mm.
I love that. and then also Caleb says something about woodworking in the neighborhood, like he's showing off his armoire, his refurbished armoire and things like that are in his apartment that she's oohing and eyeing over. And he goes, I feel like I'm part of the tradition, not only of woodworking, but in the neighborhood. Like you can tell it's like a super close-knit neighborhood. It feels very Hallmark, even though it's not a small town, you know,
sure.
Like, and this doesn't really fit that archetype of big city girl comes to small town. It's big city.
Right.
It's big city, like global.
Right.
Global girl comes to a neighborhood in a big city.
They tried to, but it seemed like they made that block feel like small town.
They did, yeah. Very. I agree, right. But so just that, like, he's super tied to the neighborhood. He owns the hardware shop. It was passed down from his parents. I thought that was very heartwarming.
Yeah.
How about you?
Just the fact that the block is, like, a family.
Yeah.
And then, who says this? Oh, the sister, I think, says this. Caleb's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I married my best friend. It's the best decision I ever made.
Yeah.
Aww.
Aww.
Isn't that
M-F-E-O.
Just, like, making everybody listening want to puke?
Yep.
doesn't he have a poem at the Poetry Slam or something that's, like,
yes.
Really good?
No, I did not think the poem was good.
It was not?
I was kind of cringing at the Poetry
Slam. Were you?
Slam. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was about, but it was, like,
didn't work for you, huh?
It did not.
No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Fair enough. Double entendres? Did you do any?
When the former basketball coach, they're like setting something up, and the coach goes, would you like an assist?
Oh,
yeah. I thought that was.
She was trying to get the permit to have the
block party. Yes, yes, yes,
yes. Yes.
Because she meets with this like curmudgeon-y girl at the front desk.
Yeah.
And then the assistant coach comes like, would you like an assist? and then Caleb, in reference to the jamboree, but also in terms of their relationship, he goes, thanks for taking the initiative. I thought that was kind of like a double entendre.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I just liked the alliteration?
Yeah.
Of Yuletide yoga. Is that the right term?
So
or is it consonants?
It's repetition of initial vowel sounds is assonance.
Assonance.
Yes.
Oh, that's about a double entendre right there by itself, isn't
true.
It? Assonance. Okay.
Yuletide yoga. Yeah.
And then even within that, she says something about, or Mama Belle says something about bringing balance into your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
But see, like, that's why there weren't very many. And that, I think, relates to the low levels of hokiness in this movie.
For sure.
There wasn't a lot of that.
Yeah. Which I was missing.
Yeah.
Lessons learned.
Really, the only takeaway I could come up with is that it's okay for traditions to evolve. You know, like, I think people get, like, really rigid and, like, we have to do X, Y, and Z. And sometimes that's not plausible, and sometimes it's better to have a different perspective and a different approach. So I liked that their traditions evolved.
Yeah, I just, my only lesson learned was just, like, maintain connections with your friends.
Yeah.
Like, it seemed like for each other, they fell off the face of the earth.
But that happens, you know, like, I don't know.
To best friends?
Yeah. I mean.
They said over and over, these two were best friends. And then he joined the army and they never spoke to one another until this moment?
I mean, best friends crazy, from, right? From what, childhood?
That's the impression that I got, yeah.
Do you talk to a lot of your childhood best friends? I do not.
I don't right now, but I did through college and into young adulhood.
That seems strange to me. I guess that's the lesson that, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily the reality for everyone right now, but I find that that's pretty rare to have friendships that last your whole life.
Okay.
I don't know. I just do. I don't think that's, I think it's great if you do. I don't have that.
And on that sad note, we're going to go right into questions. Do you have questions for all this? Because I have a lot.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So Mama breaks her, what was it?
Something.
Ankle. They had like another word for it or something. But if she, so like Jazz is like taking over the jamboree because Mama supposedly can't do anything. Mm-hmm. But Jazz comes home and Mama's like up in the kitchen baking. So, like,
at a certain point, she is doing that, right?
So yeah. It's like, if you can be up baking at home, why can't you just sit at the hardware store and organize mm-hmm. the jamboree?
Okay, before you go further, the hardware store.
Yeah.
What was Mama Belle's... Is she a worker at the hardware store?
Yeah, she might be. I got the sense that she and Caleb were, like, really close, and she was kind of his, like, adopted grandma or something. Because I think...
Well, she was bossing him around initially about the decorations.
Well, Caleb and the sister's parents passed.
Right, and they owned the place.
Correct. They passed it on to the kids. And so I got the sense that she's kind of like grandmothered into it. So maybe she's like...
Okay, yeah. I initially had trouble understanding who was running the hardware store.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
My only other one, and I think you have this also, was the whole like slow-mo mac and cheese scene.
Oh, my God. I was furious at this. All right, go ahead.
Okay, but I think I have, like, an answer.
Okay.
Okay, and so, and I guess I should have said also, but you said it in the Hallmark synopsis, that another takeaway is presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
Okay.
Over presents,
right.
Like gifts, right? So, in my job, I teach... young writers how mm-hmm. to write. And so
how to write software.
Right. And yeah. So one of the lessons we actually just did, like last month, was how to write a good slow-mo scene. And if you watch
slow-mo
scene? Yeah, slow motion scene.
Okay.
You know, and I show them the clip from the Matrix, right? Yeah. Just that one where like Neo's like dodging the bullet.
How is it that you have done this and not told me?
I don't know. Oh. I'm sorry. And so we talk about like why, what is this slow motion scene? Like why did the director or the writer put this in here? Okay. To draw attention to something that the writer is trying to convey to the audience that Neo is agile or he's indestructible or he's tough or whatever. And so I think I figured it out at the end of this slow motion mac and cheese scene that that whole thing related to presence over presence. Because the three generations of women
mm-hmm.
who seemed like they had kind of a wonky, estranged relationship, right?
Yes.
Especially between Jazz and her grandma, because she's off globetrotting. And right. then also between Jazz and her mom.
Because of the divorce.
Because of the divorce, mm-hmm. which there's a whole other storyline there.
Yes.
But so I don't think it was so much about making mac and cheese as it was all three of them were just really spending time together. And that was the greatest gift of all.
Because the slow, okay, first of all, also, that's probably the first time that phrase has ever been uttered. slow-mo mac and cheese scene?
Correct.
Okay. That seemed to imply that they were prepping a mac and cheese casserole, essentially, for an hour and a half.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's just not
I know reality. Very little about cooking, but I know that probably is a 20-minute procedure.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, even if you're making the cheese from scratch, like a bechamel sauce or something.
Wait. Making the cheese from scratch?
The cheese sauce.
Am I milking a cow to start?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to go through how to make
cheese?
Yes. Okay, so you start with a roux, R-O-U-X.
Okay, Which is French?
That's French.
Okay.
Which is some kind of fat, usually butter.
Okay.
And so you say you put in 3 tablespoons of butter, then you'll put in 3 tablespoons of flour. And you mix the flour and the melted butter together, you whisk it, and you cook it for a couple minutes till the flour taste kind of cooks out. And then you add milk, and then the flour thickens the milk, right? The roux that you made thickens the milk, okay? Mm-hmm. And then once it's thick, you add the cheese and salt and pepper and sometimes a hint of nutmeg. And then you've made from scratch mac and cheese sauce.
All right, listeners, just so you know, on the Apple Podcast app, you can slow down the playback of this to about 1/2 so that you can get all of that recipe. And we will be coming back next time as eggnogs, Yule logs, and mac and cheese recipes. Absolutely. That was fantastic.
Thanks.
So, okay, I have some problems. That basketball game that they played,
that
was the worst staging of a basketball game I've ever seen.
Really?
Oh, my God. And I've watched Saved by the Bell.
I was just going to say.
And I've watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. They had terrible staging of basketball games in those shows. Mm. And I understand they have some limited space and, like, camera issues and stuff like that. The audience, if you could call it that, was on the court in their chairs.
Yeah, how was there no bleacher seating?
And I think they were playing half court. What was this? I was not happy about that. Also, okay, why couldn't Caleb contact Jasmine?
You mean over all those years?
Yeah, I mean, let's think about this. How old do you think they are?
30.
Okay, they're 30.
Yeah.
So when he left for his... left for the army and she left or whatever, it's 2009.
Okay.
Is Facebook around?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Done. Okay. Why are these people not in contact with each other? I don't like that. Mm. Did you notice there was a pride magnet on the refrigerator?
Caleb's refrigerator?
No. Mama Bell's.
Oh, that's really
you
nice.
You didn't notice that in the hour and a half that they were making mac and cheese?
No,
you
didn't.
You didn't notice that? It was slow-mo. It was a slow-mo mac and cheese scene.
It was.
Okay. What did you think about the parents getting back together?
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
Did it feel a little too neat? Neat and tidy, I mean?
I had no problem with it.
No, you were okay with that?
Yeah, that was... I think that's what every, like, a child of divorced parents secretly, you know, maybe not so secretly.
Oh, I totally get
hopes
that.
And wishes for. But
how often do you think that's the case?
Very rarely.
Right, and so that's why I was kind of like, oh, this is almost over the top for me. Mm. Okay, I feel like I had one or two more things in here. She goes in and bluffs the restaurant. Owner.
Yeah.
That guy, Sam.
Right, with the French.
She goes in there with the French and tells him, I got hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. I'm going to have them, like, just say this is the worst place ever.
You think she's bluffing with that? I bet she
did bluff. In fact, later we find that she only maybe has, like, 1,000.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't
know
that.
So I was like, why didn't you just go, oh, really? What's your...
handle?
Handle, gamer tag, avatar. I don't even know what it is for Instagram, but it's like,
username.
What's your username for Instagram? Yeah. I want to verify this. That's what I would do immediately. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
What's your name on there? Let me know.
I mean, was that really the main conflict of this film? Was who was going to host the Christmas Eve dinner?
No, and they resolved it,
in such a simple way. So much time was spent on that, I thought. Yes, they did resolve it in a... And then I thought it was weird, too, at the Jamboree... they hardly showed anything about the food trucks.
Right. And that became, like, as you said, such a major plot point.
Yeah.
All right. My last question for you.
Yeah.
We get a DJ in here at a certain point. This is Caleb's brother-in-law.
Yes. Kareem? Is that his name?
Maybe.
Yeah.
What would your DJ name be?
Oh, gosh.
You haven't thought about this already for, like, years and years?
No. What would yours be?
Oh, I haven't thought about it.
Oh, man.
DJ Han is too simple.
DJ Jazzy K.
DJ Biblioteca. I don't know. You got one? Nothing?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Okay, finally, I would like to know, what was your steam-o-meter on this?
I gave it a 3.
You gave it a 3. Okay, let me hear why.
I just am unimpressed with the steam. I think the steam-o-meter should have been a 0 to 5 scale.
Okay.
There's no way so far from any of the movies that I have watched on Hallmark that were even close to a 6 or above.
I mostly agree. As you say, perhaps the 0 to 5 is a better thing. I gave this one a 5. Mostly because of there seemed to be like some true conflict between them.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
And I think sometimes when people are like irritated with each other, sometimes that ramps it up.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that
and they kind of like apologized at the end, and then that led to them getting together at the end.
Did you have a count for when the first kiss came in?
I did not.
Two hours, exactly.
Wow. So literally, right at the last second.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was a line of dialogue afterwards.
Okay, so here, and I've spoken to you about this, and I know your retort is, well, they must have some serious R&D going on at the Hallmark Channel. But I just don't feel like every single movie needs to focus on, like, a male-female love story. Like
needs to focus on.
Yes.
Okay.
I really am dying for a film that is more about, like, a protagonist, like, finding happiness for themselves.
Ah, so not so much that it's a hetero relationship, but simply that there's a better storyline than romance.
Yes. I just don't think every single freaking movie needs to have romance. And I know we've talked about this before in your responses. That's why I said, like, well, the people at Hallmark must know who their audience is. That must be who
people are going to Hallmark for. But that, like, and only that, right?
I don't know. It's just so sad to me. Like, there's got to be some. I would imagine mostly women are watching these, but
nah,
shut up. But like, not every woman, single woman who's watching a Hallmark movie, is going to find love at Christmas. So why not, like, give her another storyline, like another option? If you can't find love, here's, like, another thing to hope and dream for. You know, maybe she, like, starts her own business or reunites with a friend or gets a pet or, I don't know, just something that's fulfilling in a different way. I'm starting to really feel almost, like, offended by how in the box they expect every viewer to be.
Do you think that I go to the movies to imagine myself dodging bullets like Neo, or like so that I could become Iron Man?
No, but these are not that kind of fantasy movie.
Oh, I think they are.
But every single
that's
one.
I think this is, and that's not to say that Marvel movies or superhero movies are exclusionary to females, but simply, I think this is a. This is maybe the other side of that coin.
I guess
for some women, this is like a superhero movie.
And I hear that. I do. And I think just one movie or two movies out of the 44 that they do per season.
Well, how many have we seen?
Well, not that many.
How many
I
have
suppose.
You seen?
Five? Four or five.
Okay.
I've also listened to all your other podcasts.
Ah, okay.
So,
okay, fair.
Out of the, what chapter are we on here? 10, 11 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs?
This might be 12 or 13. I don't even know.
So I've listened to all of them, and the closest we got was the last one you did with Melissa where she's trying to find her family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just think it'd be nice if they planted, like, another idea in viewers' minds of here's how you could find happiness and fulfillment in your life other than pinning all your hopes and dreams on a man.
Mm.
That's fair, right?
I think there is a lot of room for more movies like that. I don't know that Hallmark Channel is interested in making those movies.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, I'm equally impressed with the fact that they can get 44 different storylines out in 1 year. Mm. Like, that's really impressive.
I think there's, like, three people that just sit in a basement.
Yeah.
And each person probably turns out about three of these a week.
That's incredible to me.
Well.
The capacity for that kind of storytelling, fictional storytelling, and I am not a fictional storyteller, but that's just very impressive to me.
It's impressive in its own way. I will agree with you on that. For sure.
It is.
For sure.
If that's your forte, if that's your thing.
All right. Given how much you just told me how much you hate a a storyline like this, how many nogs did you give it?
I gave it three.
Three?
It was fine. I mean, it was good. I don't know. Nothing was like, you know, offensive or, I mean, I liked that it was diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in Harlem, you're going to have a primarily black cast, which I thought was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting how at the Jamboree, it was a diverse neighborhood of people.
Yeah, definitely.
It was not just black people. It was white people and Asian people. And so that was, I thought, a nice touch to hear you say that there was a pride magnet on it. I do applaud Hallmark for their inclusionary, tactics or messages or whatever. I'm wondering if we're ever going to have a movie where the main characters are straight up gay. Like, they're the main people. Because I know there's a secondary.
Yeah, that definitely happened in Christmas at Coyote Creek.
Yeah,
Coyote Creek Christmas, yes.
Yeah.
And I agree. I'm hoping for something like that as the main focus of the plot. I don't know that we'll get it.
Yeah.
I don't know that we'll get it in 2021.
Right.
But maybe.
Yeah, how could
we
not?
We still have a lot more movies to go through.
How could we not? Yeah, so I'm kind of excited about the Hanukkah movie. I'll be curious, honestly, to see if they do a Kwanzaa movie. I don't know a lot about Kwanzaa, and I have met many people over the 22 years of my career, and I have not met anyone who celebrates Kwanzaa. So I'd love to see that perspective come to light. So at least it's diverse in that way.
Okay.
Maybe not in storylines, but other than that.
I gave it three nogs as well.
Okay.
It was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
I covered the things that I had some problems with. I mean, look, if anybody ever stages a basketball game like that, I might have to give them zero nogs. Just Hallmark, you're on notice. That was garbage. But other than that, yes, certainly an enjoyable movie.
Great.
Do you have anything else you want to say about this movie?
I do not.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen.
Mark.
To the Evergreen.
To the Evergreen.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.